Further tonight, we have a birthday today. Let us sing happy birthday to Travis. Yeah. Travis will be on the road soon. Everyone needs to watch out. You'll call us and warn us so we can get off, baby.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Travis. Happy birthday to you.
birthday. What a friend I found.
What a friend I found, closer than a brother.
Find a friend in you. You're not a fair weather friend or a friend that's there just in the good times, but you're there in the good and the bad and all the time. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being our friend, and thank you for loving us. Amen. Prepare the way. If you feel like clapping, go for it.
Prepare the way.
may be seated. Our message tonight, titled Talented with Love, will be brought to us by Sveta Yatsky.
Happy Valentine. I hope we don't have any heartbroken people tonight. If you... Well, that's sad. But you know, but even if we have heartbroken people, I've got the good news for you that you are so loved by God that He loves you as no one can love you. So, I guess this will be a happy Valentine message for you as well. All right. I was not supposed to speak this theme tonight because Susan and I, we hope to find any volunteer for the Valentine's Day, because my message was a little bit on the different theme, so that's why I'll speak twice this month, because the other message was already ready and I didn't want to, to waste it. So I had to figure out, since I was signed up for this day by Susan, so I had to just to rearrange a little bit. And I want to start my message with a reminder. We just sang a song about coming of the Lord, and I just wanted to encourage everybody to sometime to come here and to share with what God opens to you, because what we have, it's not about the speakers, it's not about performing or just entertaining. You know, the church, one of the tasks of the church is not just to spread the word to the entire world and to save people, but also to remind to each other, to all Christians, when we are coming together, that the Lord is coming, get ready, hold on tight to what is God telling you. We are reminded to each other that we need to get to heaven together. We don't want to lose anybody, so let us remind each other, let's go, we need to follow God's ways. So when we come here and speak, this is what we do. We remind each other about God's love and about the main goal of what we're trying to reach. And the Valentine's message, I want to start tonight with a story. And I want you to guess who are the heroes. This is a very famous story, and maybe you'll smile at the end. I retold it a little bit, and I didn't say any names. Once upon a time, in the faraway kingdom lived a man. He was a descendant of great kings, and though he was just a craftsman, he was as noble as a prince. It was time for him to get married, and a girl he began to think about was truly the fairest maid, pure and ingenuous, beautiful from inside out. He could not even dream about a better choice than that girl. They had so much in common. They shared the same beliefs and had the same ideals. With anxious expectation, he waited for her answer, and he was thrilled to know that she loved him too. Their engagement day became one of the happiest days in his life. Soon they would be married, and the date of the wedding was already set. But his happiness was short-lived. Soon after the engagement, his fiancée unexpectedly decided to go to visit her relatives who lived far away. When she told him about the trip, she looked a little bit concerned, but could not explain to him why. "I will tell you later. First, I need to check something." "I will miss you," he said. "Come back soon. Be careful on the road." "Don't worry," she said with confidence. "God will keep me," and she smiled. Something was new in her expression. "Do I know her well enough?" he thought. Oh, women, who can know them well enough? He shook his head. Thank you, Lord, that I was not born as a woman. He cited a famous prayer. How could he not trust her, an innocent, sincere child of God? She was gone almost for 3 months. When she came back, she rushed to see him. But what he heard absolutely shocked him. She was pregnant. The earth shook under his feet. How could that happen that she betrayed him so easily? And what astonished him most of all was the fact that she did not feel guilty at all. To the contrary, she seemed to be happy. Her eyes shone with peaceful joy. She told a very mysterious and miraculous story of her pregnancy, which sounded absolutely ridiculous. Nobody would trust that. Obviously, he could not think about marriage anymore. Now he had to make a very hard decision. So, do you recognize this story? Do you know the names? Joseph and Mary, right? Joseph did not believe Mary, thinking that she is an adulteress. So what he had to do in that situation? As a Jew who obeyed the Moses law, he could not marry an adulteress. That would make him impure himself. As a faithful Jew who cared about the purity of Israel, of the entire nation, he had to announce the fact of adultery. Adultery was a crime which had to be punished severely. You know, a woman had to be stoned to death. But what Joseph decided to do? Let's get to the scripture. Let's read the scripture. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let me tell a little bit more about the fate that the future, what Mary would have if she was exposed to public disgrace. You know, living in the Western culture and influenced so much by the sexual revolution is very hard for us to understand. But once I watched TV news in Russia, and there was a movie about Afghanistan, and they showed someone recorded on the video the death penalty. The city was occupied by one Muslim group, and they ruled in that city. And on the video was a big soccer field, and there were lots of people sitting and watching. And three women were brought to that soccer field. Yeah, their faces were covered according to the traditions in the Muslim world. And all these three women were shot. And you know, it was not a fiction, it was the real video. And these women were just about 20 years old. The part of the world still lives according to that rules. It was very bad experience. I regretted so many times that I watched that, but it was pretty fast. I couldn't take myself from that. So Joseph didn't want to expose Mary to that public disgrace. And he decided to divorce her quietly. Maybe we need a little bit more explanation why we're talking about engagement and divorce. In Israel, a couple that were engaged, they didn't live as a married couple, they didn't live together, but they officially were already as a husband and wife. And they, if they wanted to break up, they already had to go through the divorce process. So Joseph decided to divorce Mary, to give her a special document, so Mary would go somewhere else to live, and people would think that her husband just divorced her, and this is the child that she conceived before her divorce. And when I was reading, it happened like several years ago when the first time it clicked in my mind. Isn't that amazing that there are some stories that you read over and over again, like Christmas stories. You think that you know everything about them. But maybe you came already to this revelation, but it happened to me like several years ago when I was reading that scripture. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. And I stopped and thought, wait, Joseph, a righteous man, a righteous Jew, according to the law of Moses, if he's righteous, it means that he has to follow the laws, right? He had to tell about Mary. But the Bible calls him righteous, and because he was righteous, he decided to let her go quietly. Something I was missing. That Joseph was not missing the main thing. He was a righteous man. He was a man of rules. But he could understand something more than just the letter of the law. He could read God's law between the lines. The law of love and mercy. And that's why the Bible calls him righteous man. Later, Apostle James will say, mercy triumphs over justice. There is something much bigger that we need to have to be called righteous. You know, there, even today we can see righteous people, but something is missing. Unfortunately, yeah, we had to deal with people who are doing everything right. You know, you cannot find anything wrong in their decisions, in their walking. But in some situation, you understand, something is missing. This person is right, but something is missing. Some people are, let me call, talented with love from the very birth. You know, they're nice. It's so good and comfortable to be in their presence. And they embrace and they just shine with love. Some people are different. You know, they're kind of like hedgehogs with needles. Talent, what I mean by talent here, is something that belongs to you from your birth. It can be developed, but it's like being talented with music. If you don't have that ability, if you don't have pitch, you probably cannot develop it. Some people, it's the same with love. If they're not born with that love, they try to change, but they're still rough. I hope you understand what I mean. So, but when we speak about Christians without love, I think it's a sad picture. So is there any solution? Like if they're Christians in the church and by birth they're not talented with love, is there any solution to that missing part in their characters? This model, this triangle I present, it was not invented by me. I saw that once Yaroslav made me to translate seminars on marriage and counseling, and we were dating. Maybe he did that with purpose, so I would learn a little bit about marriage. And this triangle shows relationship between, let's say, spouses and God. The closer spouses or I don't know, girlfriend, boyfriend, any people, friends, the closer these people to God, by the word closer, I mean they care about understanding God and obeying His laws, the closer they are, the higher they are in that triangle size, the closer to each other. Do you see? Both Joseph and Mary, if we go back to Joseph and Mary, were very close to God. Otherwise, they wouldn't be chosen by God. And actually, that saved, you know, that saved their marriage. And they became great, they've got great mission to be parents of Jesus. If both spouses look at God, they both see the model of love. And that gives them an idea how to love. It unites them, bringing closer to each other. A famous French writer said, "Love is not just looking at each other, it's looking in the same direction." I find this statement so true. If we look only at each other, we so soon get disappointed and we lose our faith and love. But if we are holding each other's hands, walk shoulder to shoulder toward God, we gain that fullness of love. So as Christians, we of course understand who is the source of love. Of course God is. But why then sometimes Christians are so poor with love? There is Becky's friend once. I was trying to invite him to church several times, and he said he had a very bad experience with the churches, like with his relative. His aunt was a Christian. She was attending church every Sunday. She wouldn't miss any Sunday. But he said that she was, I don't know if that's appropriate to say that word. She was a bitch. This is what he said. Sorry. See, this is my second language and sometimes I don't feel. But that was, you know, it was very sad to hear that what he said, that he was the only Christian like in their family, and she was the worst person he ever met. And he told, each time I was inviting him to church, he would remind me about that his aunt. Finally I said, "Can you imagine how worse she would be, how much worse she would be if she didn't go to church?" He said, "Well, maybe you're right. When we go to church, of course, we hear about God's love, we get that reflection of God's love. Sometimes if we don't produce that love on our own, sometimes at least we can try to get there closer to that standard." So there is actually one solution, reason why some Christians are missing that love. And you know, I found the answer to that question, why there are Christians who don't have love. I found it on Melanie's fridge. On Melanie's refrigerator.
On my refrigerator.
She'll read it. I found it just great. You'll love it too.
"I asked God to grant me patience. God said no. Patience is a byproduct of tribulations. It is not granted. It is earned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said no. I give you blessings. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said no. Suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said no. You must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. I asked God to give me all things that I might enjoy life. God said no. I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others as much as He loves me. And God said, ah, finally you have the idea."
So we are looking for many things in our lives, and we ask God about so many things, when actually we need to ask about one thing most of all. Love. You're familiar, I'm sure, many Christians know this chapter from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, by heart, if they cannot cite the whole chapter, maybe several verses at least. But I'm not going to read it, since I hope you know it very well. But I just want to let you look at in the context of this passage. The context, I mean, what the previous verses and the following verses of this chapter. Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, health administrations, kinds of tongues. And the ending verse, that the ending border of that passage is, make love your aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Earnestly desire means, I found in the dictionary, strive after, burn with zeal, busy oneself after. Gifts, spiritual gifts can be desired. Having an experience of being a Christian in church, I found very interesting and inspiring how God is granting spiritual gifts to the people. Since I was more involved in music ministry, I can witness that. There was one guy in the local church where my parents live in the same town. And he was trying to sing at the church. Was like 10 years ago, 8 years ago. And when he was singing, I was always like, usually I'm a tolerant person, but my heart was just shrinking, and I thought, is there anybody who can tell him not to sing? But you know, God ashamed me so much this fall. And he was singing every year, trying, I don't know, to do his best. But this fall, last autumn, when I went to visit my parents, and of course I went to the church, attended the church, he was singing again, and I was so ashamed. He was doing such a good job. And if 10 years ago he was, you know, he was not even able to hold the tune, he would take a note and go somewhere low, or, you know, it's honestly, he could not sing at all. But the last visit proved to me that he was eager to sing and worship God so much that God gave him that ability. And also, it was the same in the big church, in the big choir where I sang. And our director, he would never say no to anybody who would come and say, we want to sing your choir. He would be spending time, extra time, teaching them. But in the finally, there were so many people who couldn't read a note before they came to that choir. And at the end, they would be singing, and they would be doing such a good job. Spiritual gifts is something that is not given to us from birth. We have talents. Different people have different talents. But spiritual gifts are given to people at the church according to the needs of that church. And this is God who gives, who sends this gift. And we can desire, if we want to serve God, if we want to be messengers of His word, He will give you an ability. But you need to strive. That's why I think God is trying to tell us this message, because Gary was speaking on this theme, and Jerry last year, and Brother Larry is trying to tell about ministry. I think definitely God is trying to knock on our doors and wake us up. Hello, just where is your burning heart? You can receive everything if you want to serve me. So let's get to other verses. We see that that love passage is in the context, is set in the context of the spiritual gifts. There are two more verses I wanted to pay attention. But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. They're great, of course. Some of them are greater. There is a special need to that gift, like prophecy. And Apostle Paul is using the greatest gift. He doesn't say that love is a spiritual gift. He doesn't say that directly. But in the context, we understand that this is a gift. And it is the greatest gift. It's the most excellent way. He takes his special attention. He pays special attention to this gift. And he leaves lots of sentences to that. Like the best, there are 13 verses in that chapter. Because without this gift, nothing has sense. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. So he says that the tongues, if I speak the tongues but I don't have love, it's nothing. He's speaking about great gifts, but even they are nothing without love. And you know why? Because these gifts, like speaking tongues, prophecy, being generous and helpful, they're finite. Is that the right word? Finite? Finite? Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Church will not take these gifts, abilities, to heaven. There will be no need in prophecy, because we'll see God as He is. There will be no need in tongues, because we'll speak the same language. We'll understand God and each other. There will be no need in knowledge, because everything will be exposed to us. But there will be love. This is the eternal gift, the most perfect gift that we will bring to the eternity with us. Even if we were not talented with love from our birth, as Christians, we can be gifted with love through the Holy Spirit. Every Christian can be gifted with love. So let this verse, the words said by Apostle Paul, will be deep, deep inside our hearts and will be deep, deep inside our minds. Let love be your highest goal. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Let us just pause for a few minutes and pray and meditate on love, on God Himself. We need to sound a little bit softer. Thank you. Dear God, we are unable to love. We need your guidance. You are the love. You can teach us. And tonight we confess that we don't love enough. We ask you to be in our hearts. As more as we can ask you to abide in our hearts, so we could love others. Please lead us your ways. Remind us every day, every moment. Please don't leave us alone. This is us who break your heart all the time, because we are sometimes just we forget or we don't care much. We're so concentrated on ourselves. Please, Lord, be merciful to us and teach us and lead us. Make our hearts big enough to embrace your love. Thank you, Jesus, for showing how to love. Thank you for giving your love to us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you know, we were looking for a song to sing about love as more as we can. About love and love and love. And we found the Beatles song. So we're going to sing a chorus.
Concerns. Jerry? Did you say Terry? Any others? Yes. Paige Bennett. My sister left too. The family of Don Chapel, I think that's it's her boyfriend's co-worker's husband that passed away of cancer today. And then the family of Chuck Lovell, and it was a husband of a former co-worker of Elizabeth who died from a viral infection. He's just in his mid-40s, but he has an 8-year-old son. Yes. Yes, Alfred and Evelyn. And Dad said he went to visit with them today and they're not doing well. They were driving on McEwen Drive and Miss Evelyn ran off the road. No, well, they mentioned it in church. I think they're at home. Is that right? He's doing his own thing. What's your name? Do you know her first name? Roberta. Okay. We'll take care of that later. Are there any others? Yes. There are others. Yes. AD. Are there any others? Okay. We're going to, tonight, our order of worship, as you can tell, is quite different, and so we're going to pray for our prayer requests a little bit later in the service. If you'll stand with me, if you feel able. Love with the love. Thank you.